We are now going to do our reading, and I'm going to invite up my mum and my son, actually.
Okay, we're going to read the parable of the lost son from Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father,
'Father, give me my share of the estate.'
So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said,
'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants."'
So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him,
'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'
But the father said to his servants,
'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'
So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on.
'Your brother's come,'
he replied,
'and your father's killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.'
The older brother began to become angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father,
'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,'
the father said,
'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Okay, so with the prodigal son, you have the youngest son coming up to the father and asking for his inheritance. The father could have said no. The father could have disowned him there and then, but the father loved him so much that he said yes. No. The younger son. So he got his inheritance and he went off to a distant land. God, for a distant land. He didn't want to be known. He didn't want anyone to know of his family. He wanted to go as far away as he possibly could, away from the father. When he arrived at his destination, he spent all of his money on anything he wanted, on a lavish living, probably eating lots of nice food. What do you think you would have eaten?
Chips.
Anything else?
Pizza.
Anything else?
Burgers.
So he's there in a far-off land eating his chips, pizza and burger and not having a care in the world. But every time he was eating, every time he went to a party, every time he spent some money, his money went down and down and down. And he was thinking, that didn't go to plan. Oh, I give you one job. One job. Let's try that again. That didn't go to plan. Excellent. The father still loved him, but he didn't know it. He didn't care about it. He was still having a great time. All of his money ran out, and then a famine hit the region. That didn't go to plan. So, with no money, in a famine, he went off and he tried to find the only job he could get, which was working with the pigs. Now that, at the time, was considered the lowest of the low, but he had to do it. He was so hungry that he wanted to go and eat the food that the pigs were eating. Now, Noah, you always at home say, when's lunch, when's dinner, can I have a snack, can I have some toast? Do you think you would want to eat the pig's lunch?
No.
Why not?
Because it's yucky.
It's probably very yucky. Thank you. You can go and sit back down. It was probably very yucky. Very yucky indeed. So he was there. No money. No food. In the lowest of the low jobs. He was starting to realise what it meant to be a son. He was realising it's better to be in the presence of the Father than to be here where I am, in my mistakes, in my mess, in this mud. He was starting to realise where he needed to be. He also knew that he didn't deserve to have that title of son anymore. And he was right. But we know that's not quite what happened. He started travelling back to his house with his speech in his head of what he was going to say to his father. Lord, Father, I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. He was probably going over and over this as he was walking back. Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. But when he was a far distance away from his house, his father saw him. Not just because he was, you know, happened to glance in that direction at the time. He was waiting. He was wanting. He was longing for his son to come home. As soon as he saw the son coming, the father ran to him. Because he loved him so much. His heart was filled with so much compassion. He wanted his son there so much. And that's like our father. He loves us so much and can't wait until we come home to him. In those days, a father, a man, a gentleman, wouldn't run. The children would run, the servants would run, but not the men. It would be classed as sort of undignified and not the right thing to do. But he did it anyway because he loved his son so much. And also, if the community that he was in had got to the son first, they would have disowned him from that community. So that's another reason why the father ran so much because he loved him so much. So the son's there trying to get out of his speech that he's been practicing all the way home, but he only gets a little way through it, and he doesn't even get to finish it because his father is covering him in so much love and compassion, getting a robe on him, getting a ring on him, getting some sandals on him. He tells the people to go and kill the fattened calf. We must celebrate. I bet the fattened calf thought, that didn't go as planned. You're on it, you're there. It was the two characters that didn't want the younger son coming home, the fattened calf and the older son. So he's now experiencing what it means to be a son and having sonship and being accepted, even though he went against him, even though he did lots of things wrong, even though he messed up, his father accepted him for who he was and loved him so much. And that's a bit like us, isn't it? No matter what we do, no matter how much we mess up, we have a father there that loves us so much and wants us back home with him. So, the son is back at the house, having a party, having a great time. But the older son comes. The older son. Don't step back. Now, he was asking, what's going on? What's happening? What on earth is... what's going on here? And the father or the servant was saying, your brother had returned. We're having a party for him. It was like he was lost, but now he is found. It was like he was dead, but now he is alive. And the older son, even though he was at home, he didn't understand the whole meaning of sonship either. He got angry, he got grumpy, he got resentful, he got jealous. Show me your best angry face. No, still angry. Yeah. So he was angry, he was annoyed, he was frustrated that his brother was getting all this praise and parties, and he didn't understand it. No, he was still grumpy. Grumpier than that. Yeah, excellent. Thank you, you can go sit down, actually. Thank you. And I bet he was thinking, oh, that didn't go as planned. He didn't understand that at all. He was in the mind of a slave, thinking, I've done my work, I've done it all right, where's my reward? Where's the things that you owe me? Rather than realizing that it was already there for him, and he was in the presence of his father, and it is great news that his brother has returned as well. So no matter how far we go, no matter how much we mess up, no matter how many wrong things we do, the Father still loves us. Even if we think we're doing everything we should, when we should, how we should, it's not what we do. It's about the Father and what he's done for us. And his love for us. Can I have the next PowerPoint slide up, please? I can't actually remember what I've got on it, so it'd be good to know. Okay, yeah, take that off a sec, yeah. Don't worry, take it off a sec. Yeah, I'll come back to that in a minute. Yeah, I know what I've got there now. Spoiler alert. Oh. I'm going to diverse just a minute, and it will make sense, but I'll try and be as quick as I can because I know time is precious this morning. If you were a creature, what creature would you be and why? What do you reckon? A swan? A black swan? Excellent, excellent. What about you, William? If you were an animal, what animal do you think you would be? Any idea?
Probably a sloth.
A sloth. Well, no comment. No comment. What animal do you think you would be, Noah?
Tiger.
A tiger. Why do you think you'd be a tiger?
Because they're greedy for food.
They're greedy for food, yeah. What about you, Alaska? If you were an animal, what animal would you think you'd be, or a creature? What do you think you'd be?
I don't know.
Fair enough. Anyone else? Do you want to share quickly? Yes.
Elephant.
An elephant?
Yeah.
Because you never forget?
That's right.
Excellent. 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 Brilliant. Brilliant. Now, I want to talk about Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. When he was on the cross, he said the words, I can't remember what he said now. I haven't got it written down. My God, why have you forsaken me? That didn't go to plan. You got it. Excellent, excellent. Now, if we look at those words, it's quoting scripture. It's quoting one of the Psalms. In that Psalm, it says, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. It's so obvious. It's talking about Jesus. So why does he say, I am a worm? Now he can bring up the picture. There we go. Now, it's not in the Hebrew, the word for worm isn't this kind of worm. It's a very specific type of worm called the crimson worm. There we go. Now, let me just read a bit about what this crimson worm does. Well, to begin with, I'll share that this crimson worm is where they got the dye from for colouring of the tabernacle and also the priest's garments, which is pretty cool by itself, but there is more. The crimson worm, just before it is going to lay her eggs, attaches itself to a tree and makes a protective shell around itself, and it won't come down alive. When the eggs hatch, the mother's body gives protection and also provides them with food. During the birthing process, she secretes a crimson fluid that not only covers her body, but also all her young. It also leaves a stain on the tree, which never fade away in time. So she is covered, the babies are covered in this red liquid that comes out of it. After 3 days, the mother has died, and she turns white as snow and falls to the ground. So this crimson worm sacrifices itself for the good of the children. It covers it in red, represented with Jesus' blood, and comes away white as snow. No matter how much we mess up, no matter how far away we go, no matter how lost we get, Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, which means our sins can be forgiven. We can come white as snow. So, that's quite a cool representation, and in my eyes, that's the only reason God created that creature in the first place, so it could represent Christ in that way. I'll just finish by reading this scripture. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. That's in Romans 8:14-17.